The next date is April 13th.
April 13th will be in court, and hopefully the earliest release date is April 17th, and we hope to welcome him home on that day or in one of the succeeding days.
We want to thank you both for being with us, and we want to continue the conversation after the show with a web exclusive that we'll post online. Bob Boyle, lawyer for Herman Bell. Jose Saldana, formerly incarcerated in New York State Prison, knew Herman Bell well, now an organizer with the group RAP, Release Aging People from Prison. I want to wish Matt Ely a happy birthday. Democracy Now! Is accepting applications for a paid year-long social media fellowship. Deadline May 6th. Go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Nermin Shea, Carla Wills. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Please join WHFR.FM 89.3 for blues music on Highway 61, Friday, 2 till 4 p.m. Each week, DJ Kitty Love brings the best in new blues releases and Detroit blues to Henry Ford College Radio, WHFR. Highway
61. This is Jonathan, host of Songwriter Symposium, and this coming Sunday, I will be kicking off a special week of live in-studio performances on WHFR. Listen at 5 o'clock this coming Sunday to hear local singer-songwriter Scott Fabb. Scott will be performing songs from his recent CD, Leave My Friends, and talking with me about his music. Tune in this Sunday at 5 o'clock to Songwriter Symposium, and then listen each day this week at 5 o'clock for more live performances from Studio J.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
The following edition of the new WHFR Journal has been pre-recorded and edited for time and for content. Enjoy.
Welcome to this Friday, April 6th edition of the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek, and we are welcoming a variety of interesting topics, as always, on today's show. But this is sort of the eve show of our big radiothon week. So
is it really
coming.
Radiothon Eve?
It's actually Radiothon Eve Eve, because Saturday is Radiothon Eve. So,
correct.
So it's Radiothon Double Eve, and we're so excited about Radiothon. We can't wait until Radiothon to actually talk about it to see how that works. Very, very much looking forward to next week's show. We've got to, you know, get this one under our belt, of course, but next week we'll have the mayor of Dearborn in to talk about state of the city and lots of other things. He's an opinionated mayor and proud of it, and we like that too. So look forward to talking with him on next week's official Radiothon edition of the new WHFR Journal, and Diane Green will join us as well to talk about some stuff on campus.
I was going to say, we're pretty opinionated, too, because we love public radio, and we love non-commercial WHFR. So, yeah.
That's right. And if you
we'll have a lot of opportunity
yeah,
to talk
right.
about it. Yeah.
And if you love it, too, then you want to be listening this coming weekend. Radiothon officially kicks off Sunday. It is our one full week out of the year where we, as a radio station, will be asking you for your support, for your vote of financial support for what we're doing, whether it's this talk show, classical programming, some of our other sort of avant-garde talk shows, and especially the music, whatever touches you personally. We hope you'll dig deep as we move into Radiothon beginning Sunday, and later ask for you to sort of finish that thought and make that vote through your donation. We're also going to have a ton of exciting things going on campus, and you know, one of them, Alan, will have happened already when next Friday's show, the official Radiothon Journal show, is on. So I'd love to take a minute and talk about that now.
Okay.
And that is on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, right here at Henry Ford College, our Evergreen Road campus location in Dearborn. We will be hosting a record show, a record sale. We'll also have CDs and some radio station merchandise, but it's going to be right here in the very building that we actually broadcast. So it's taking place this coming Tuesday from from noon until 5 p.m. If you are into records, if you like collecting albums or 45s, any type of vinyl, if you're into the 33 records, those are still out there, and we've actually got some, as well as CDs and other miscellaneous musical things, come on over to the school. Come to the M building. It's the Student and Culinary Arts building. It's where the cafeteria, as well as our beautiful 5101 restaurant, is located, as well as our Office of Student Activities. But you'll find the radio station here, and just outside of our station windows, we'll be hosting this five-hour record sale. Vinyl is big, as we know, and you can get our items for a dollar donation each. That's it. It's a buck donation to the station. You get to pick out the album, the 45, the CD, whatever of your choice. It's a must-see event, and it's open to the public. It's absolutely free, and all proceeds will benefit and support our radio station functioning. So it's all for Radiothon 2018. So I wanted to give you that little insight, because it'll be too late to talk about it next week. But that's a big one, and we really hope to see you there.
It is the time of year to make the other, 51 weeks of the year possible here at WHFR. And that includes things like the Radiothon and also the event that we're going to have next Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got
absolutely.
It. Absolutely.
All right, so what else is going on?
Well, we have a new president.
Yes,
and I understand. Yeah, I understand he's going to be starting sooner rather than later.
Okay.
I just had some dealings. I had to get some support from our acting president, John Setkowski, who, might I just say, and this is my opinion exclusively, but he has done an amazing job as interim president of Henry Ford College, in my opinion, in everything I've seen, everybody I've talked to. He's just a wonderful, wonderful man. He's excellent at what he does. He's our head of finance here at the college, and he stepped into that role when President Jensen left a little bit more suddenly than we were expecting, and John Setkowski's been amazing. He's just a good guy all the way around, too, so I'm kind of sorry to see him leave, frankly, in that role of president, acting president. He's going back to his financial services position, of course.
Where he has served us very well.
Where he has also served us very well. Yeah. So wonderful job there, John. Thank you for your service. And we move forward with Russell Calvahuna really, really soon. Any new things you want to mention? I know you've been researching our new president.
Yeah, well, no, not related to the president, but I know this is coming up, and I'm sure that once we are talking to Mayor O'Reilly next week, we may not have time for it. So I want to mention this today. This is part of, the 80-year legacy stories from here at Henry Ford College, originally Henry Ford Community College. But this showed up to us. The Leaders Advancing and Helping Communities, which is a Dearborn nonprofit organization, is going to give the 2018 Excellence and Great Achievement Award to one of our alumnuses. Mm. This is Dr. Adele Mackey, and this is going to take place at the LAHC 30th Annual Awards Gala, which takes place Thursday, April 19th. At the Edward Hotel in Dearborn. Mackey, who lives in Dearborn Heights, he's a pharmacist for the long-term care pharmacy in Farmington Hills, has community pharmacies here in the area, and set up a scholarship fund for aspiring pharmacists. He has deep Dearborn roots and is honored to receive the award and pays it forward to people that are in need. So this is a situation where Mackey, who was originally from Lebanon, immigrated to the United States, settled in Dearborn where he was just 2 weeks old, and obviously has spent a lot of time here in the community and gone on and built his life and his business as a pharmacist, and is getting this award for excellence and achievement from the Leaders Advancing and Helping Communities organization.
Very nice. It's so nice to honor those people that we, in some way, perhaps touched and encouraged throughout their time here at Henry Ford. And we've got so many of them that go out and just do amazing things, not only personally, but professionally. And I know that our Office of Marketing and Communications is really trying to focus on finding those stories so that we can proudly boast about them as we move into our 80th year as a college. It's wonderful.
And like a lot of students that we have here on campus, he started started here at Henry Ford College, went to the University of Michigan Dearborn, eventually ended up at Ferris State University up in the northern part of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan, and graduated with a doctorate in pharmacy in 2005. So I think that's probably a familiar story for a lot of students who come through HFC, and it really is part of the success that this, you know, campus has brought us over the past 80 years.
Oh, no kidding. And speaking of success in our college community, that really kind of even ventures out to our actual community of large at large, our Dearborn community. I want to mention the 30th Annual Mayor's Arts Awards will be taking place this coming Tuesday, and it's in the evening at the Studio A at the Ford Community Performing Arts Center. It starts at 7 o'clock, and this is a really big deal. If you live in or around Dearborn, or work in or around Dearborn, you know that this is like the Oscars of Dearborn Arts, and it's really a pretty cool thing where we get the chance to honor those people that have made a significant impact in the arts. Some of those people have actually been from our own college campus, which is wonderful, including our own former station advisor Jay Koronick. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2 years ago that he won the sort of arts achievement award for a person working and, you know, living the arts, if you will. So we were very excited to have him receive that award, volunteer award. And it's a wonderful event. I'm very proud to be hosting or emceeing the event this year. So I have a vested interest in this. And I just know that anybody that supports the arts in Dearborn, and we consider ourselves at WHFR part of the arts in the Dearborn community, and it's the must-go-to event of the year. So there is not a ton of space available, but there is opportunity to go. And if you'd like more information, I would say just check out the Dearborn Community Arts Council website. It's dcacarts.org, dcacarts.org. But this is the 30th anniversary. It's going to be a big night. And again, that's Tuesday. You'll see all the spotlights and stuff. It's going to be fun. So hope to see you there. And speaking of hope to see you there, we have an event coming up. It's called GlobeFest 2018. It's been going on for more years than I can remember, and we will be having Cassandra Fluker in to talk exactly every detail about GlobeFest, so you're going to have no reason not to be there. It's free, it's going to be wonderful, and it's a go-to event, so we'll talk about that in a minute.
We're going to talk about that next here on the new WHFR Journal.
It's time for WHFR Radiothon for 2018. Starting on April 8th, your favorite WHFR DJs will be working a week of overtime to take phone calls from loyal listeners like you for this year's pledge drive. WHFR is a nonprofit and non-commercial radio station, so we rely on donations from listeners to keep bringing you the great programming you're listening to right now. For more information, or if you want to get a head start on our pledge drive, go to whfr.fm on the internet or call us at 313-845-9676. We thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the new WHFR Journal. So happy to have you here. Thanks for staying with us on this April the 6th. We are now going to focus on the world at large, and I mean literally the globe. This next event that we're going to talk about has been a staple in the Henry Ford College campus community. We want to invite you to participate as well. It's called GlobeFest 2018, and joining us in studio is the Director of Student Activities and also a member of the Council of World Cultures. That'll be important in a minute, Ms. Cassandra Fluker is with us today. Cassandra, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Susan. It's my pleasure.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we are so excited about GlobeFest for a number of reasons. We have participated as a radio station in the past by soliciting different world music artists to be a part of this event. We do, of course, have a couple of world music shows, and we love that style of music. But in addition, it's an opportunity for our students to experience some culture that they normally would not have a chance to participate in and to be witness to. So it certainly opens hearts and minds, and music is that language of universality. So tell us a little bit about why GlobeFest is the way it is here on our campus.
Well, GlobeFest, it has grown over the years. It started in 1996 by the Standing Committee Council of World Cultures. When it started, it was Council of American Cultures. Now, as far as the committee itself, I'm not sure when it started, but GlobeFest itself started in 1996, so about 21, 22 years ago. And the whole purpose was to increase race relations and also to celebrate the various cultures that existed here at Henry Ford College. And over the years, it has expanded to the student clubs. So not only do we celebrate the existing cultures at Henry Ford, now it's all about world cultures.
Very nice. It's one of those things that you think Council of American, and I remember what it was called, the Council of American,
American Cultures.
And now you think,
yes.
You know, Alan, I'm sure you can relate to this. It's like, now it's like Council of World Cultures. Well, you kind of think that's the way it should have been the whole time, but
yeah,
I guess,
exactly.
Like, live and learn, right? It's one of those things.
We do all learn. We understand that, yeah, and sometimes it takes some time. But it's also important to know that, you know, at this point, this is kind of like the reality we live with,
yes,
where we realize it's a global culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was that? Maybe about 20 years ago, we started moving into globalization, started really thinking about international affairs. So, yeah, it affects all of us.
Yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. What can we expect to see at GlobeFest? And then I hope we'll also have a chance to talk about all of the organizations that are in some way sponsoring or participating at this event.
Oh, GlobeFest, it is so fascinating, so exciting. Everyone who comes, who attends, who participates, they just love the event. So I enjoy putting on this event with the student clubs. But with GlobeFest, you can expect live entertainment, food. Should I give you the ticket prices now?
Yeah, that's sure.
Sure, why not?
Okay,
yeah.
Food. The admission is free to the event, but the food tickets are $3 per ticket, $5 per two tickets. But at each station, it requires one ticket. Okay. And as far as the food, you just get a sample of the taste of that country.
Alan, we'll need like 10, 15
I was going to say,
tickets.
Yeah.
20, I don't know. Anyway, just be ready. We'll be ready. But so the exciting part about, you know, you can't actually come in and get a meal just by sampling a bunch
yes.
of different things. But
yes.
it's the beauty of it is this is true food representing the actual cultures
yes,
that are being presented.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And with the clubs, they represent different countries and they do a very elaborate display of each country to give the attendees just a taste of what that country may be like if they were to visit.
Okay.
So they speak on the traditions, the customs, the norms of those countries.
Right. And all this gets kind of packed in pretty tightly into our location and our time frame. Would you tell us the details of where and when will this actually be
happening? Well, GlobeFest is going to take place Wednesday, April 11th from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And it will take place in our Student Center, Building M, the Pavilion, to be exact.
Okay, so it's right here, right outside of our radio station
windows. Right outside the radio station.
I know the smells of food every year when it's GlobeFest. I smell the curry and the ginger and the amazing stuff.
All of those wonderful and tasteful spices.
Absolutely. So for 2 hours, and I know, you know, some of us bring our classes to participate and to experience it, but really, if you're coming from the outside, you could come on your lunch hour, for crying out loud.
You can.
Come get some free live music, very reasonable cost for some food samples and just really enjoy the experience. I love seeing things from the students' perspectives. I love sitting back and just watching as the students are engaging and so on, appreciating this. So if you haven't been on a college campus for a while, it's just a wonderful, wonderful event. Go ahead.
And another important part is information. You're going to walk away with a full belly, first of all. And second of all, you're going to walk away with lots of information regarding these countries. Because each participating student, they're required to create a fact sheet. A fact sheet describes the country's demographics, the population, the climate, the religion, language, the food, apparel.
Wow.
Yeah,
is that something that they'll just hand out? People can pick up?
Yes.
Okay.
As the attendees visit the table, the student club members, they are instructed to give each one a fact sheet.
Okay.
So now the people who are presenting, and I mean, we think of, obviously, when you think of culture, I would say, you know, everybody eats, so food is pretty high up the list.
Yes.
We all, at some level, probably like music, so music is a part of the list. But what are and these are students that are going to present the student clubs, they're going to be presenting their cultures?
Yeah. Well, no, they're not.
Okay.
Mm-mm. There are various clubs. They get together. They come to a consensus on what country to represent.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting.
It's not necessarily representative of that particular club. Such as the, let's see, we have the Community Service Club. They're going to represent Mongolia.
Okay.
So that's a country that these members were interested in, and that's what they said they would research and present.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a learning experience for them, for the students,
as well as for the audience,
the
people who are there.
So it's an educational journey for all involved.
Nice.
It's a neat perspective.
Mongolia, what other countries do we have coming up?
Other countries?
let's go there. I just want to know what I'm going to eat.
I'm thinking of the barbecue I'm going to be eating from Mongolia, frankly. But.
Well, we have seven countries that will be represented.
Okay.
Mexico, Mongolia, Japan, Spain, Egypt, Nigeria, and Jamaica. So those are the seven countries that you may be able to experience.
Lots of very interesting music, just from from my perspective, and some, you know, pretty good food too. Exactly.
Right. And as far as the live entertainment,
yes.
Because it's a 2-hour span,
you're right. Yeah,
we don't have entertainment representing all seven countries. I believe we have three or four.
Okay,
but we will have a mariachi band, flamenco dancers, an African drummer, and a Japanese instrument. I think it's called a shimisen. Shimisen, I believe it's called.
Interesting. In talking about the organizations that are involved, the food will be prepared and sold. We are getting the experience for free. We're sampling the food for a small cost. What happens with those funds? And is there a sort of an overt purpose for raising a little bit of money when it comes to GlobeFest 2018?
Yes, it is. And I'm so glad that you asked that, Susan. The purpose of the event is twofold. Okay, one is to increase diversity, awareness, and appreciation. And the second is to raise funds for the International Student Scholarship. Here at Henry Ford, we want to get the international students involved in student life. We want them to feel welcome and feel that they're valued. So the proceeds from the event go towards the scholarship, and usually two recipients are selected by the Council of World Cultures each year.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk more about the Council of World Cultures. Okay. I know you sit on that organization. It's been around for, again, a while, as we know, in its present incarnation. But what's the purpose of, or what's the charter or the charge of that organization?
Well, the purpose of CWC, that's what we call it for short, to foster global awareness throughout the community, not only at the college, but in the community as well.
Okay. Somebody has to pay for the food that's being made to then sell it to us, because Al and I are buying pretty much all of it, but to sell it to us. But who pays for that so that ultimately this can be considered a donation and go towards the scholarship?
Well, the event is sponsored by Council of World Cultures. And the students, they have a budget based on the budget of CWC, and then they purchase the food from licensed caterers.
Nice. Okay. If somebody is interested in learning more, specific questions about any of this, should they call you?
Most definitely. Call me, Cassandra Fluker. My phone number is 313-845-9838, or you can send me an email at crflukr@hfcc.edu.
Okay. You mentioned the Community Service Club, the Student Veterans Association. What are some other organizations that are jumping on board to participate in this?
Oh, our Honor Society, Phi Theta Kappa, they participate each year. And they're very excited about this event. We have the Early Childhood Club, which is a fairly new club. I believe it was approved back in September. So it's new this year. We have the Animation, Comic, and Gaming Club. So you know their interest was in Japan.
Makes sense.
We have the Muslim Student Association, International Student Organization, African American Association, and the Inside Track Program. The Inside Track Program is a peer mentoring program for our students, and they decided that they wanted to join in this school year.
Nice.
Which I welcome.
I think that's one of the things that people tend to not to realize about a community or a commuter college. And I know we can speak to this with our students. We try to encourage them to not just come 5 minutes before class and leave 5 minutes after class gets out, but to be a part of all of these other you know, related things that you might get on a university campus.
Before you walked in the studio, Cassandra and I were having this exact conversation in terms of the challenges of being, you know, able to get students involved, either for personal reasons or just to be a part of the community. What does your office do to help those things happen?
Oh, well.
And I know there are a lot of events and a lot of things that are going on that may or may not, you know, get notice by, you know, the community at large, I guess.
Yeah, and with my office, we're all about student engagement. Mm-hmm. So we want students to get involved because it's part of their college experience. And once they're involved, they gain all of this leadership, all of the other things that go along with it, and they graduate as well-rounded individuals.
And so do you see the difference between the people who really, like, sort of like take the reins and get involved in these things and what it means to them as a student to be, you know, able to be involved in activities?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, sure. Most definitely. I see a big difference. The great student leaders, I call them distinguished student leaders, because they know just what to do. They have an ideal, and then they come to me with help to execute those ideas. And they get other students involved, and they go on to bigger and brighter things once they leave Henry Ford College. But there's a big difference, and I encourage all students to get involved. As I said before, it's part of their college experience. They don't know what they're missing out on when they do not get involved in out-of-classroom experiences.
I would think that an event like GlobeFest might be a nice opportunity, even though we know that the organizations are not there to necessarily toot their own horns. If we have somebody with a question for a member of the Animation Comic and Gaming Club, for example, I bet they'd be willing to answer some questions while they're talking about Japan at the same time, right?
Yes. Right. And at student clubs, they are allowed to have what I call student sign-up sheets.
Oh.
If students are interested in a club, want to know more information, want to know when they meet, they may have that list on the table.
Nice. So this is open to students, to staff, faculty, administration, and also, again, reason why we're talking about it on the Journal Show is because it's open to you to stop in. Again, Wednesday from 11 until 1, same building that the radio station event on Tuesday will be happening, which is the record sale. Right here, it's building M, 11 until 1, on the campus of Henry Ford College, main campus here on Evergreen Road. Cassandra, one more time, contact phone number.
Contact information, 313-845-9838, and email crflukeer@hfcc.edu. So if you have any questions, please feel free to call me.
I have one more question.
Yes.
Do you speak multiple languages?
No, I do not.
I was thinking, wouldn't that be the coolest thing? And maybe that was a perk of your job, being able to, like, have time to learn all these different things. But maybe that's something we can find out at GlobeFest. At least learn how to say hello in most of these languages.
Right, in these different languages.
But our mouths will be full, so we really won't be able to be talking anyway. So forget my question. Thank you for your time. We hope you enjoy a very successful GlobeFest.
Thank you so much. Okay. Susan and Alan, thank you.
Pleasure to see you again. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've got more on the way. This is the new WHFR Journal. Stay with us.
Spring and summer registration is now open at Henry Ford College. Students can go online to WebAdvisor to register for classes that begin on May 8th, and the deadline for registration is May 9th. If you're looking to begin classes at Henry Ford College, schedule an appointment with the counseling office at 313-845-9611.
Impact Fourth Tuesday. Every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m., meet people who are about making a difference in your community. Our programs are designed to be a catalyst that helps nonprofits and other community organizations get the word out to you and help them to reach their goals and potential in serving others. Listen to Impact every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m. and see who is making a difference.
It's the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Josh Hebert joins us. We didn't have you last week, but I know you were busy, but we're going to talk some sports, right?
Yeah, a little bit of opening day last week, a little cold.
Well, yeah, it took us a couple days to get to opening day as far as the major leagues are concerned. And, you know, I mean, I know that we try to look at things that are going on here in the community with high schools and here at HFC. Obviously, also locally, we had another university that played a big sporting contest on Monday evening.
We did.
University of Michigan. Go ahead.
Sadly, they did lose, but they are going to be back next year pretty strong, have a good returning core, have good recruits coming in.
So let's talk. What's going on here at HFC and in the community?
Well, at HFC, which is pretty much all that's going on right now because spring break going on with a bunch of the schools, taking weeks off for the students and athletes to go down, have a little bit of relaxation before the full swing of the season comes in. You have the baseball team here on campus at 7-13 so far in the season.
Did they get snowed out this week at all by chance? Yeah.
They have had a few postponements, all cold, right, snow, go. Rain, all of the
all
four
of the
seasons.
Above, right, yeah, right.
however, they do have a home-and-home series this weekend against St. Clair County Community College.
Okay.
The home games are going to be on Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m., and those home games are played at Pep Park in Taylor.
And where is Pep Park located at, just so we know, in vague terms?
That would be off of Telegraph and Wick.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Yeah, I just in general, it's because Taylor's a
big
square down there in the southwest corner of Wayne County whatever. Yeah.
And then you also have the softball team here on campus, who is 5-5. They have also had postponements and cancellations. None this week, surprisingly, though. They have a lot of home games over the next 5 days. They have 8 games. All of their games are played at Heritage Park in Taylor.
Okay.
And
that's at what? Northline and Pardee, basically.
Yeah.
Exact. Somewhere just off of Pardee between Northline and Goddard, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Again, another beautiful park there that the girls get to play at. Host of the Junior League World Series for baseball in August. Trying to keep you guys warm thoughts there. They have games today at 3-5 as well on Tuesday at the same time. And then this weekend they have games at 1 and 3 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. So
okay, excellent. What else do we got going on? I know you've got a whole list of things.
We do. It is Masters.
I was going to say, you're going to talk about roller hockey at all.
We will get to roller hockey.
All right, that's fine.
But first, it is the Masters weekend for golf.
Okay.
The golf team here at HFC has...
Wait, hold on. We have a golf team?
Yes, we do.
Excellent. I'm all ears. Tell me about it. And I'm a horrible golfer, I have to say. But tell me about it, please.
Yeah.
And these are things that maybe people don't realize. And I know sometimes people say, sports is what it is. We give too much attention to it. But these are people who are students at the college who also want to be able to continue competing in these different ways. The same way when we talk about, plays that are taking place in the fine arts department or art exhibits that are taking place in, the art department. These are people who are, for the most part, young and trying to apply their skills and get an education at the same time. So tell me about the golf team.
The golf team has their first match of the weekend of the spring next weekend, the 13th of April, at the Oakland Community College Invitational.
Where does that take place at?
That will be
somewhere in Oakland County. I assume.
That has not been
probably
announced
not
yet.
at the same golf course where they had the Ryder Cup and all that stuff a few years back.
Most likely. And then, as you alluded to a little bit earlier there, Alan, our friends with the roller hockey team, they are going to travel to Fargo, North Dakota next weekend for the national championships of roller hockey for the community college.
Now, when I was, 12 years old, we drove through Fargo, North Dakota, and this was in July.
It's probably a lot colder.
Given what it's like here in Dearborn in, mid-April, can we call it mid-April or at least close?
Close.
I can only imagine what it's like in Fargo.
Oh, Let's not get into that right now. let's try to keep it warm here.
So this is going to be a regional tournament, and then
this is the national tournament. This is for all the kit and caboodle.
Oh, okay, excellent.
So, good luck to them next weekend. We will have a schedule next week for that.
In terms of when they're going to be playing. And I know I saw a very interesting article in the Mirror News, our publication here, from was it Dominic?
Yes,
the goalkeeper.
Dominic is writing a little bit for us now, so.
And obviously he's still involved in the program, and this is kind of like his last go around with the team, or is he going to be with us for another year?
He is still going to be here next year, so
okay,
we will have one of the best goalkeepers in roller hockey that I am aware of coming back next season.
The other thing I want us to talk about, and I know this is coming up in a couple of weeks, and I mentioned it last week here at the end of the journal, is that there are going to be open tryouts for the women's basketball team.
Yes, there are.
Which will be playing,
next season.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Never too early to start thinking about basketball, though.
Well, and yeah, I know we're at the end of basketball season at one level, but when you're starting up a new program, I think it's very interesting in terms of what you're looking for in terms of recruiting students and, what you're looking towards when you start to build a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you talked to the coach or the athletic director?
I have not yet, but the tryouts are going to be April 21st and 22nd in Building H, which is the gym here on campus. Mm-hmm. 1 to 4 p.m.
Do you have to register beforehand? Do you have that information?
I have not seen any of that stuff yet. Hopefully, we will be getting Miss Taylor, the athletic director, in here in a few weeks to hopefully let us know a little bit more
about that before it happens. I would assume, I mean, I saw it at the HFC website, hfcc.edu. There was some sort of information in terms of being able to, I can't remember if it was pre-register or just, send an email to show up, because I know they're sort of capping it at, I'm trying to remember, maybe like 40 or 50 students that could come in and do tryouts.
Yeah, and you can also, if need be, either email or call the head coach, Gwen Burton. Her information is online with the athletics department.
Okay, so that's we do have our coach.
Yes.
And obviously, I'm sure she's been very busy trying to build a team, because there was a team. But then there wasn't a team.
Yeah, there was a team.
And now there's going to be a team again. Do you know how that happened? Do you know the history there?
I actually do not. However, it was a 2-year hiatus.
Correct.
And it is going to be great to have the team back for another go around.
We look forward to hearing. We look forward to hearing and seeing what the women can do to support HFCC athletics or HFC athletics next year
and
when the team's done.
Going with them and the men's basketball team, hopefully we'll have two outstanding teams here for the winter semester.
Excellent. Josh, thanks. Anything else for us, or are you good?
No, that's about it for this week. Thanks for having me.
All right, sounds great. It's the new WHFR Journal here on the station Making Waves, 89.3, also online at WHFR.fm. We'll be back to wrap up in just a moment.
1 in 26 people will be diagnosed with epilepsy in their lifetime. Are you, or is someone you love, 1 in 26? From summer youth camps to an informational hotline, from teen and parent workshops to public policy advocacy, the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan works to improve the lives of people with epilepsy and those who care for them. Become part of the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan. Join in the fight at epilepsymichigan.org. That's epilepsymichigan.org. Together we can stop seizures, find a cure, and overcome challenges created by epilepsy.
Join WHFR April 14th at New Place Lounge in Dearborn for our annual Radiothon Blues fundraiser. Support your favorite local public radio station, meet your favorite WHFR DJs, and listen to great music from local artists Maggie McCabe and Howard Glazer, Jason Bone and the All-Stars, and more. New Place Lounge is located at 22723 Michigan Avenue in Dearborn, and all admission goes to support WHFR's Radiothon. That's April 14th at the New Place Lounge. We'll see you there.
All Up next here on the new WHFR Journal, one of our occasional times where we take a listen to a TED Talk that sort of catches our attention. A lot of them themes or topics that seem to be near and dear to us here at the new WHFR Journal, or things that are related to the area, the neighborhoods in which we live. And that's the case with this one, although actually it meets both of those criteria. It is a TED Talk that was given last November in New York City by a gentleman by the name of Drew Philip. He's the author of a book called A $500 House in Detroit, Rebuilding an Abandoned Home and an American City, what he describes as a memoir of rebuilding a former abandoned home while finding his place in his city, country, race, and generation. It is built around a concept that he has defined as what he calls radical neighborliness, and makes the case that we have the power to create the world anew together and to do it ourselves when our governments refuse. Let's listen in now to Drew Philip and his TED Talk, My $500 House in Detroit and the Neighbors Who Helped Me Rebuild It.
In 2009, I bought a house in Detroit for $500. It had no windows, no plumbing, no electricity, and it was filled with trash. The first floor held nearly 10,000 pounds of garbage, and that included the better part of a Dodge Caravan cut into chunks with the reciprocating saw. I lived nearly 2 years without heat, woke up out of a dead sleep multiple times to gunshots, was attacked by a pack of wild dogs, and ripped my kitchen cabinets from an abandoned school as they were actively tearing that school down. This, of course, is the Detroit that you hear about. Make no mistake, it's real. But there's another Detroit, too, another Detroit that's more hopeful, more innovative, and may just provide some of the answers to cities struggling to reinvent themselves everywhere. These answers, however, do not necessarily adhere to conventional wisdom about good development. I think Detroit's real strength boils down to two words: radical neighborliness. And I wasn't able to see it myself until I lived there. About a decade ago, I moved to Detroit with no friends, no job, and no money. At a time, it seemed like everyone else was moving out. Between 2000 and 2010, 25% of the city's population left. This included about half of the elementary-age children. This was after six decades of decline. A city built for almost 2 million was down to less than 800,000. What you usually don't hear is that people didn't go very far. The population of the Detroit metro area itself has largely remained steady since the 70s. Most people who left Detroit just went to the suburbs, while the 139 square miles of the city deteriorated, leaving some estimates as high as 40 square miles of abandoned land, about the size of San Francisco. Aside from platitudes such as the vague and agentless deindustrialization, Detroit's exodus can be summed up with two structures: freeways and walls. The freeways, coupled with massive governmental subsidies for the suburbs via infrastructure and home loans, allowed people to leave the city at will, taking with it tax base, jobs, and education dollars. The walls made sure only certain people could leave. In multiple places, brick and concrete walls separate city and suburbs, white and black, running directly across municipal streets and through neighborhoods. They are mere physical manifestations of racist housing practices, such as redlining, restrictive covenants, and outright terror. In 1971, the Ku Klux Klan bombed 10 school buses rather than have them transport integrated students. All these have made Detroit the most racially segregated metro area in the United States. I grew up in a small town in Michigan, the son of a relatively blue-collar family. And after university, I wanted to do something, probably naively, to help. I didn't want to be one of the almost 50% of college graduates leaving the state at the time, and I thought I might use my fancy college education at home for something positive. I'd been reading this great American philosopher named Grace Lee Boggs, who happened to live in Detroit, and she said something I can't forget. The most radical thing that I ever did was to stay put. I thought buying a house might indelibly tie me to the city while acting as a physical protest to these walls and freeways. Because grants and loans weren't available to everyone, I decided I was going to do this without them, and that I would wage my personal fight against the city that had loomed over my childhood with power tools. I eventually found an abandoned house in a neighborhood called Poletown. It looked like the apocalypse had descended. The neighborhood was prairie land, a huge open expanse of waist-high grass cluttered only by a handful of crippled-up abandoned structures and a few brave holdouts with well-kept homes. Just a 15-minute bike ride from the baseball stadium downtown, the neighborhood was positively rural. What houses were left looked like cardboard boxes left in the rain, two-story monstrosities with wide-open shells and melted porches. One of the most striking things I remember were the rose bushes, forgotten and running wild over tumble-down fences no longer cared for by anyone. This was my house on the day I boarded it up, to protect it from the elements and further decay. I eventually purchased it from the county in a live auction and assumed the neighborhood was dead, that I was some kind of pioneer. Well, I couldn't have been more wrong. I was in no way a pioneer and would come to understand how offensive that is. One of the first things I learned was to add my voice to the chorus, not overwrite what was already happening. Because the neighborhood hadn't died. It had just transformed in a way that was difficult to see if you didn't live there. Poletown was home to incredibly resourceful, incredibly intelligent, and incredibly resilient community. It was there I first experienced the power of radical neighborliness. During the year I worked on my house before moving in, I lived in a micro-community inside Poletown, founded by a wild and virtuous farmer named Paul Wirtz. Paul was a teacher in a Detroit public school for pregnant and parenting mothers, and his idea was to teach the young women to raise their children by first raising plants and animals. While the national average graduation rate for pregnant teens is about 40%, at Katherine Ferguson Academy it was often above 90, in part due to Paul's ingenuity. Paul brought much of this innovation to his block in Poletown, which he'd stewarded for more than 30 years, purchasing houses when they were abandoned, convincing his friends to move in and neighbors to stay, and helping those who wanted to buy their own fix them up. In a neighborhood where many blocks now only hold one or two houses, all the homes on Paul's block stand. It's an incredible testament to the power of community, to staying in one place, and to taking ownership of one's own surroundings, of simply doing it yourself. It's the kind of place where black doctors live next to white hipsters, next to immigrant mothers from Hungary or talented writers from the jungles of Belize, showing me Detroit wasn't just black and white, and diversity could flourish when it's encouraged. Each year, neighbors assemble to bale hay for the farm animals on the block, teaching me just how much a small group of people can get done when they work together, and the magnetism of fantastical yet practical ideas. Radical neighborliness is every house behind Paul's block burning down, and instead of letting it fill up with trash and despair, Paul and the surrounding community creating a giant circular garden ringed with dozens of fruit trees, beehives, and garden plots for anyone that wants one, helping me see that our challenges can often be assets. It's where residents are experimenting with renewable energy and urban farming and offering their skills and discoveries to others, illustrating we don't necessarily have to beg the government to provide solutions. We can start ourselves. It's where, for months, one of my neighbors left her front door unlocked in one of the most violent and dangerous cities in America so I could have a shower whenever I needed to go to work, as I didn't yet have one. It was when it came time to raise the beam on my own house that holds the structure aloft, a beam that I cut out of an abandoned recycling factory down the street where not a single wall was left standing. A dozen residents of Poletown showed up to help lift it Amish style. Radical neighborliness is a zygote that grows into a worldview that ends up in homes and communities rebuilt in ways that respect humanity and the environment. It's realizing we have the power to create the world anew, together, and to do it ourselves when our governments refuse. This is the Detroit that you don't hear much about. the Detroit between the ruined porn on one hand and the hipster coffee shops and billionaires saving the city on the other. There's a third way to rebuild, and it declines to make the same mistakes of the past. While building my house, I found something I didn't know I was looking for, what a lot of millennials and people who are moving back to cities are looking for. Radical neighborliness is just another word for true community, the kind bound by memory and history, mutual trust and familiarity, built over years and irreplaceable. And now, as you may have heard, Detroit is having a renaissance and pulling itself up from the ashes of despair, and the children and grandchildren of those who fled are returning, which is true. What isn't true is that this renaissance is reaching most Detroiters, or even more than a small fraction of them that don't live in the central areas of the city. These are the kind of people that have been in Detroit for generations and are mostly black. In 2016 alone, just last year, one in six houses in Detroit had their water shut off. Excuse me. The United Nations has called this a violation of human rights. And since 2005, one in three houses, think about this, please. One in every three houses has been foreclosed in the city, representing a population about the size of Buffalo, New York. One in three houses foreclosed is not a crisis of personal responsibility, it is systemic. Many Detroiters, myself included, are worried segregation is now returning to the city itself on the coattails of this renaissance. 10 years ago, it was not possible to go anywhere in Detroit and be in a crowd completely made of white people. Now, troublingly, that is possible. This is the price that we're paying for conventional economic resurgence. We're creating two Detroits, two classes of citizens, cracking the community apart. For all the money and subsidies, for all the streetlights installed, the dollars for new stadiums and slick advertisements and positive buzz, we're shutting off water to tens of thousands of people living right on the Great Lakes, the world's largest source of it. Separate has always meant unequal. This is a grave mistake for all of us. When economic development comes at the cost of community, it's not just those who have lost their homes or access to water who are harmed, but it breaks little pieces of our own humanity as well. None of us can truly be free, none of us can truly be comfortable until our neighbors are too. For those of us coming in, it means we must make sure we aren't inadvertently contributing to the destruction of community again, and to follow the lead of those who have been working on these problems for years. In Detroit, that means average citizens deputizing themselves to create water stations and deliveries for those who have lost access to it, or clergy and teachers engaging in civil disobedience to block water shut-off trucks. It's organizations buying back foreclosed homes for their inhabitants or fighting misinformation on forced sales through social media and volunteer-run hotlines. For me, it means helping others to raise the beams on their own formerly abandoned houses, or helping to educate those with privilege, now increasingly moving into cities, how we might come in and support rather than stress existing communities. It's chipping in when a small group of neighbors decides to buy back a foreclosed home and return the deeds to the occupants. And for you, for all of us, it means finding a role to play in our own communities. It means living your life as a reflection of the world that you want to live in. It means trusting those who know the problems best, the people who live them, with solutions. I know a third way is possible because I have lived it. I live it right now. In a neighborhood called Poletown, in one of the most maligned cities in the world. If we can do it in Detroit, you can do it wherever you're from too. What I've learned over the last decade building my house wasn't so much about wiring or plumbing or carpentry, although I did learn these things, is that true change, real change, starts first with community, with a radical sense of what it means to be a neighbor. It turned at least one abandoned house into a home. Thank you.
Drew Philip and his TED Talk, My $500 House in Detroit and the Neighbors Who Helped Me Rebuild It. Oh, really? Not that different than what we're going to be trying to do next week during Radiothon here at WHFR. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw. This is the new WHFR Journal. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Please stay with us.
This is Jonathan, host of Songwriter Symposium, and this coming Sunday, I will be kicking off a special week of live in-studio performances on WHFR. Listen at 5 o'clock this coming Sunday to hear local singer-songwriter Scott Fabb. Scott will be performing songs from his recent CD, Leave My Friends, and talking with me about his music. Tune in this Sunday at 5 o'clock to Songwriter Symposium, and then listen each day this week at 5 o'clock for more live performances from Studio J.
Attention licensed practical nurses. Are you looking for a convenient way to earn your RN degree? Do you need the flexibility of a program who recognizes you for your previous hard work as an LPN? Here's great news. Henry Ford College has exactly what you're looking for with their Advancement LPN to RN Bridge program. You can advance your career and become a licensed registered nurse. Want more info? Give us a call at our School of Health and Human Services at 313-845-9877. That's 313-845-9877.
Thanks for staying with us on this, the new WHFR Journal, this April 6th edition. We are very excited to share that you have an opportunity to enjoy some of the sort of the fruits of the labor of our students in the art department. It's the 2018 Henry Ford College Annual Student Art Exhibition. It opened early last week, and this is a quick one, so it only runs through the 12th of April. So it is only going through Thursday of next week, but you still have 6 days to participate and enjoy this beautiful, beautiful exhibition. Boy, Ellen, I was able to be there this past Tuesday. They were giving the art awards to the students that won in the different categories and things. And boy, highly impressive stuff. So they're great job over there.
It's been a great year. There have been so many very interesting exhibitions that the entire program has put on over the course of the year. And this is always one of the best because this is sort of like the culmination of everything that's happened between the fall and the winter semesters. Certainly for those, I'm not sure exactly of the hours, but if you're here for the play, the Agatha Christie play taking place, and then there were none, which we talked about last week.
That's right.
It's just down the hall, so if the doors are open, walk in, take
there
a peek.
Go.
If not, try and, squeeze your eyes through the holes in the door and see what you can see.
And there really is plenty to see, even in that way. I'm amazed every time I walk by in the hallway. But I will tell you, so they are having special open hours tomorrow, April 7th, from 10 until 4. So there are some official hours from 10 till 4. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday next week, 9 to 4:30. Wednesday's the late day, 9 a.m. till 8 p.m. So pop on over before work, after work, on your lunch break. If you're retired, come in, just enjoy some student art. But you're exactly right. What a great season, this 2017-18 season with the Henry Ford Art Gallery and the students. Really good stuff. Don't want to miss it.
Excellent. So that's going on in the Fine Arts Building. It's still F, right?
It is. Yeah. Yes.
I'm sorry. I can never resist asking what the building is called because we all know what they are, at least those of us on campus.
That's right.
Whether the letters and the names have changed.
Yeah, that's true.
And one thing that never changes is that once a year, we here at WHFR also ask for support from our listeners. And that's going to be coming up in the not so distant future as well. Am I correct?
Correct. Starting Sunday, going through next Saturday, it is what we call our official Radiothon Week 2018, and this is the one week where we are really looking to ask you to think about all the things that you appreciate about our radio station, your radio station, and know that we can only continue to do what we're doing and even do it better through your funds, through your donations, your funds of financial support. We have a bit of a goal that we do every year. We don't even talk about it, but some years we do great. Other years it's tough, and we come a little bit close, and some years are, you know, sort of all over the place. But our goal is that if you have an opportunity to contribute something, whether it's small or large, we will gratefully appreciate your contribution and financial vote of support. So we'll talk more about that next week, of course.
Well, I was going to say, we'll leave it for next week, but you know, one thing to say, if we meet that internal goal, then, you know, Susan and I will be eating sushi when we do the new WHFR Journal, right? If not, we'll just have a bag of Fritos.
And, works for,
you know,
me.
Yeah, all right, whatever. Anyway, no, obviously, every bit of support that comes into the station goes to help pay for things like, oh, well, important things like keeping the station on the air, you know, paying for microphones and headphones and the programming that we have, and also, you know, making sure that we have the ability to bring in, what, the hundreds of hours of volunteers that we have that keep the station going.
Yeah, so. And our classical programming is actually very expensive, and we know that many of our journal listeners love that show, so think about it, dig deep.
You'll have all next week to hear about it, but, you know, if you got that letter in the mail, send it back. If not, we'll wait until next week or wait till Sunday to tell you the phone number, and then you can call in and make your pledge of support. So,
you got it. Yeah. It's been a great show. We've been all over the place today, but
yes, indeed.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Indeed, the new WHFR Journal. You know, as we head into Radiothon, this really has been an interesting journey in terms of keeping the show going, because I know it's been a part of the history of this station. You know, it has. I don't think that either Susan or I have walked into it trying to put our, like, you know, new stamp on, you know, what this show should be. It's just sort of been what it is. And we've tried to, you know, stay true to the mission of what the show is, of making sure that you have the opportunity to hear what's going on in the community and hear, you know, different voices from things going on here on campus, in the Dearborn area, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it's been an interesting experience over the last few months. And hopefully you as listeners have enjoyed it and you'll stay with us. And we'll be back next week. I don't know. Is that our biggest interview we're going to do with the mayor?
Eh? I would say yes.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Why not?
Yeah, whatever. That's fine. by the way, the mayor is going to be with us next week on the new WHFR Journal.
You got it. Can't wait. Can't wait to hear him. And we hope you'll be with us as well. Stay with us. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy what we hope will be a lot of sunshine. And we thank you for being a part of this edition. Have a great weekend. And thanks again.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener supported, non-commercial radio.
That's where my baby stays.